This time of year can get pretty crazy, and it's easy to get overwhelmed. Any number of things can bring you to the brink. Maybe it's having to travel for the holidays and deal with all that craziness. Or maybe it's the family gathering that's waiting for you on the other end of your trip that's stressing you out. You know, a different kind of crazy. It can all leave you feeling a little cynical.
I don't believe in miracles and faith and hope and all that. And all that other crap that, you know, a lot of people try to push down on holidays. Things just don't work that way, not in real life.
If that's where your head's at this week, we're hoping the stories in this episode might help turn things around for you.
We knock on the door, and this old black guy comes on a cane. The house is cold. The only light he had was a candle.
That was a moment where someone did just the right thing, just out of the blue. And it did mean something to me.
It's the StoryCorps podcast from NPR, with stories about the holidays bringing out the best in people. I'm Michael Garofalo, and we'll be back after a short break. Stay with us.
Dave Isay here, StoryCorps founder and president. At StoryCorps, we find inspiration in everyday stories. And in these difficult days, we can all use a little bit of hope. Take a minute to support our work today. Text STORY to 844-544-7171. Thank you for helping us in our work to create a more just and compassionate world. The StoryCorps podcast is made possible by support from Subaru. And I'll be back after the show with a message from our sponsor. So stick around.
Welcome back to this holiday edition of the StoryCorps podcast. You know, we've been bringing you some pretty heavy conversations lately. So this week, we wanted to lighten the mood a little. Now, having said that, I'm about to tell you that our first story is about disappointment. But bear with me. It's a story about looking forward to something that doesn't turn out the way you wanted it to. Maybe a gift you were sure was going to knock somebody's socks off just fell flat. Or maybe you had holiday plans that fell through at the last moment. But the thing about this story is that it's told by the person who's causing the disappointment. His name is Ron Kroenke, and he's a piano tuner. He had been doing that work for about 15 years when he came to a StoryCorps recording booth to talk about this one job that he thinks about every year around this time. It happened in mid-December when Ron was called to tune a piano at a local nursing home.
A group gathered around in chairs, and they were all wearing their nice Christmas clothing. And I thought, well, how nice. You know, they have no idea that I'm going to bore them to sleep with my tuning. And I'm kind of working along happily, and I'm smiling at people. And a few of them were looking at me like, what in the world is he doing? One lady was just glaring at me. Another lady was giving me sympathetic looks. Her name turned out to be Rose. And then the activity director comes in and says, okay, everybody, Miss Jennifer was here, and she saw that the piano man was tuning the piano, so she'll be back in January. I didn't realize they had a concert scheduled that day. About a third of the people looked highly disappointed, and they were murmuring to each other, trying to tell each other what had happened. The angry lady barked at me and said, you know, haven't you ever heard if it isn't broke, don't fix it? And she stormed off. I had scooted over on my seat out of the view of Rose because she looked so hurt. And suddenly she touched my arm and it startled me. And I looked and she was very close to me. And she told me very sincerely, I've been sitting here the whole time, and I've been watching what you do, and I can tell that you're the kind of person who would never walk away from this piano until everything was just so. That was a moment where someone did just the right thing, just out of the blue, and it did mean something to me.
Piano tuner Ron Kroenke in Omaha, Nebraska. This next story is also about doing the right thing. It happened 50 years ago in a section of Knoxville, Tennessee called Mechanicsville. That's where Dr. Lynn Weaver grew up. And in December 1967, he was just finishing his freshman year at Howard University and heading home for the holidays.
I remember walking up the street Christmas Eve, and I see this kid riding down the street on a bicycle, and I said, boy, that looks like my brother's bike. I get to the house, I say, Wayne, where's your bike? And he said, it was down on the steps. I said, no, it's not, it's gone. It's a small neighborhood, so we find out where the kid lives, who has the bike. And it's a shack in the alley. Now, my brother and I, we're going to beat this boy. But my father was there. He said, just shut up and let me talk. So we knock on the door, and this old black guy comes on a cane. The house is cold. The only light he had was a candle. It was his grandson who had stolen the bike. So he calls him out. He was the same age as my brother, about 10 years old. Little boy starts crying, and he says, I just wanted something for Christmas. So we get the bike, and we leave. We go back to my house. My father tells my mother, and she doesn't say anything. She just starts cutting the turkey in half and all the fixings. She started packing it up. My father went to the coal yard and got a big bag of coal. And then he told my brother, he said, you got another bike, don't you? Brother said, yeah. So we went back with food, coal, so they'd have some heat, and the bike. Little boy just crying. But the thing that moved me the most was the old man. My father gave him $20, which was a huge deal back then, and said, Merry Christmas. He said, thank you, and then just broke down in tears. My father was a chauffeur. My mother was a domestic. So we didn't have a lot of stuff. And that Christmas, I don't even remember what gift I got. But I do know that made me feel better than any Christmas I've ever had.
That's Dr. Lynn Weaver, and you're going to be hearing a lot more from him on this podcast in the new year. See, Dr. Weaver's dad had a way of stepping up at just the right moment, something he really needed growing up, because he was one of the first black students to integrate his high school in 1964. And you'll hear all about that in an upcoming episode. Okay, so at the top of the podcast, I wagered that if you were feeling down on the holiday season, these stories might help turn you around. But if you're listening out there and you remain unmoved, this last story is for you. And I'm not going to try to win you over with sweetness here, because look, I can be a bit of a Scrooge myself. But I listen to this story every holiday season, because for me, it's sort of a reminder not to take all the stress and the way that I react to it all that seriously. The story first aired long before StoryCorps even existed. It was reported and produced by StoryCorps founder Dave Isay in 1990. It's about a guy who plays Santa, one of those red-suited guys who rings bells on city streets soliciting donations to charity. But this Santa has a nickname. They call him Cynical Santa. Here's Dave.
It's early in the morning at Santa Central, an auditorium in the headquarters of the Volunteers of America, New York's largest supplier of Santas. Several dozen bedraggled-looking men slowly wander in and pull their red suits off the long racks which sit on the room's stage. For 80 years now, Volunteers of America has been placing down-on-their-luck Santas on the streets of Midtown Manhattan to raise money for charity. In one corner of the room sits a thin, mustached, half-dressed Santa, hunched intently over the day's racing form. His graying hair is cut short, he's missing a front tooth, and his face furrows deeply each time he frowns, which he does a lot as he suits up for the day's work.
Extra cap, extra bill, safety pins.
This is Santa Sierwinski, not your typical Kris Kringle. He prefers to be known as Cynical Santa. At 8:15 precisely, he's out the door.
See you later.
Maybe.
See you down the road.
And just a short bus ride later, he's on the job, ringing a brass bell, standing next to his red chimney donation box right smack in front of Rockefeller Plaza. It's not hard to pick out Cynical Santa from all of the others. He's the one with the tobacco-stained white beard pulled down under his chin, a filterless camel dangling from his lips.
Just me. Santa Claus is helping. That's all.
Wiggle your nose and make a cloud come up.
I'm not here to entertain people.
Why is it not snowing?
This is the seventh year that Cynical Santa has worked the streets of Manhattan with his distinctive style and unique Santa philosophy.
I don't believe in miracles and faith and hope and all that, and praying for things, and all that other crap that, you know, a lot of people try to push down on holidays. Things just don't work that way, not in real life.
Santa Serwinski should know. He's had his fair share of hard knocks, 10 years of living on the streets of New York, bouts with alcohol. Today he lives in a Volunteers of America residence hall and works occasionally as a welder, except, of course, during Christmas, when he's paid $35 plus 15% of the donations in his chimney over $100 each day. It's the mornings, which are the most trying time of day for Santa Serwinski, as he's mobbed by the thousands of eager schoolchildren unloading from buses for a tour of Rockefeller Plaza. Some shake his hands, some stare up at him gaping-mouthed and silent, others talk.
Hey, you not Santa! Anyway, Santa doesn't smoke!
Life is full of disappointments, and everybody don't live happily ever after.
Worst of all, says Santa Serwinski, are those who serenade.
You can't say, look, take a walk, get, you know, get the hell out of here. But, you know, I'm supposed to be Santa Claus, or Santa Claus's helper. The spirit of Christmas and all that garbage.
Happy New Year.
Okay, all right, thank you, children. Okay, I got to go over to my chimney.
Eddie Serwinski says he's never taken the etiquette lessons taught in Santa school too seriously. This is a required day of classes for all Santas at the beginning of each season. There, the men are taught how to ring their bells, be jolly, ho, ho, ho.
You know, the hell with the ho, ho, ho's. You know.
They're taught how to say Merry Christmas in a dozen languages and to excuse themselves when they have to go to the bathroom by explaining to the kids that it's time to go feed the reindeer.
I just say I gotta go pee, that's all. Yeah.
But believe it or not, despite his unorthodox methods, Cynical Santa Serwinski is the all-time greatest moneymaker in the history of the Volunteers of America. Last week, he pulled in a record $400 in donations on a single day.
Think about it. New Yorkers are cynical people, you know. They kind of know that I'm not a bull artist, you know.
Put your mustache back on and let me take a picture?
Let me take that cigarette first.
As a seven-year veteran of the Santa business, Serwinski is full of cynical memories. There are the countless times he's been kicked and sworn at and spit on. There are the stories of his fellow Santas, like the tipsy one who accidentally fell through the windows of Bloomingdale's, or the Santa who, desperate for cash, took off his suit and sold it on the Bowery for $10.
Yo, Santa, what's happening?
Nothing to it.
It's evening now at Rockefeller Plaza, and Santa Serwinski has been working for about 12 hours. Things are not looking rosy. Donations have been coming in slowly all day. Relief Santa Smith, who was supposed to give Serwinski a break every 2 or 3 hours, has disappeared. It's getting colder and colder. But that doesn't faze Serwinski a bit. It would take a lot more than that to dampen this cynical Santa's special Christmas spirit.
Hi, right, Merry Christmas. Merry
What's
Christmas.
That on?
That's uncomfortable in Sitchimi. It's just a lot of bull anyway.
Santa Serwinski, do you have any sort of final Christmas message to leave us with?
Everybody dies. Hey, sweetheart, come in the box. Everybody dies, you know. And you wonder, what the hell, you know, what's it all about? I do.
For National Public Radio, I'm David Isay.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever.
That's Cynical Santa, a short radio documentary produced by StoryCorps founder Dave Isay and first broadcast on NPR just before Christmas in 1990. And that's all for this episode. The StoryCorps conversations you heard were produced by Katie Simon and Judd Esty Kendall. Find out what music we used on our website, StoryCorps.org, and don't forget to rate or review us wherever you get your podcasts. If you ever want to leave a message for someone featured on this show, we set up a voicemail line for that, and we pass your messages along to the StoryCorps participant. Give us a ring at 301-744-TALK. That's 301-744-TALK. I'm Michael Garofalo, and this has been the StoryCorps Podcast. Whatever and however you're celebrating over the next week, happy holidays, and thanks for listening.
StoryCorps thanks our sponsor, Subaru, for supporting our podcast and bringing you this message. Subaru has made the world a better place by donating more than $120 million and over 30,000 volunteer hours to important causes. Subaru and its retailers are committed to doing their part in making a positive impact in the world because they feel it's the right thing to do. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.